So here we are. It's Easter. And Easter is a time of celebration. It always has been. Or is it? The sermon title this Sunday is Easter with an exclamation mark, exclamation point. And then let's celebrate also with an exclamation point. Now, ordinarily, we wouldn't have to make this much of a deal about it. Easter, we celebrate. Of course we celebrate. But can we? We're in the middle of a pandemic. We're in the middle of nothing being the same. People are suffering everywhere. But the thing is, this isn't any different than any other Easter. We're just noticing it in a new way. This doesn't make us bad. It doesn't make us bad people that when we think back to other Easters, what leap to mind are perhaps decorating eggs, looking for eggs, eating chocolate, eating an Easter dinner with family and friends. And if your mother was as hospitable as mine with family you didn't even know you had and friends, well, I guess they were friends. I'd never met them before, but my mother encountered them somewhere, perhaps at, a church service and asked if they had anywhere to go. And when she found out they didn't, well, they came to our house. When I think back to Easter, I don't think of suffering, which is odd considering what led up to the resurrection. But as I said, that doesn't make me a bad person any more than it makes anyone a bad person for looking back and seeing the things that we want to see or remembering those things that provided us comfort then because they can provide us comfort now. This is going to be an unusual Easter. We aren't having people in, not even our grown-up children and our grandkids, because it's better for them and for us if we don't. It's better for everyone in the city we live in. It's better for everybody, period, if we are separated on this day of celebration. So can we celebrate? Well, yes, we can. But we can't celebrate if we think the only way to celebrate is the way we've always celebrated. If nothing else, if we are willing to open our eyes to it, this might be a good time for us to recapture an older sense of what Easter used to be like or what it could be like. Very few of us have active experience with living in a culture or a place where Christianity isn't not just tolerated, but is frequently affirmed from politicians, from leaders of all sorts. Very few of us have hands-on experience with what it means to have to be careful about admitting that you're a Christian or talking about the church you attend, whether you identify as a Christian or not, whatever it might be. We've never lived there. But lots and lots of people have, and lots of people do. Did they celebrate Easter? Well, part of us wants to say, well, how could they? They can't celebrate Easter. They're not allowed to look for eggs on the front yard if that's what they want to do. They're not allowed to go and buy, okay, they're chocolate rabbits, but at least they're still part of Easter. They're not allowed to have that because it doesn't even exist in those places. So how could they celebrate? Because what we celebrate on this Sunday, on Easter Sunday, the Sunday of the resurrection of the Lord, what we celebrate isn't chocolate, tempting as it is. It isn't the artistic endeavors of creating eggs, or as we've done, creating butterflies that we have seen some pictures of, and I'll get all the other pictures and put them together and send them along or put them up somewhere so we can all see them. If we can't celebrate that way, what do? Well, we celebrate the fundamental reality of what Easter actually is. We look at the resurrection for what it is, an unmistakable symbol, an unmistakable example of God's ultimate love for his people. A love that transcends even death. That's hard for us to believe, particularly now when death, I think for most of us, is a little closer to the surface. Not because we are sick, perhaps, not because we're afraid for us, or maybe not even for our family members, but because we see it everywhere in a way that we haven't for a long, long time. Anytime you go to a news source, whether it's television, I suppose, we don't have one, so I haven't checked it out there, but I'm pretty sure it's there. But if you go to a news website or you spend any time on social media, you'll find people talking about what the death toll is in this place or that place. Death is a terrible thing. It's an ending that none of us want. None of us has someone who dies at the right time. It's always too early. It's always too soon. The same with sickness. Same with infirmity. Same with the exhaustion that comes from doing things in a new way, in a different way, in a way that never seems to make sense. The exhaustion that comes from living in chaos, whether it's our own or it's people around us who are putting it upon us in this new way we're living. But death is never a good thing. Oh, we talk about people being in a better place, and yes, that's true. But as I've said at funerals for a long time, I don't care how much better it is that they're there for them, because it's not better for me. But Easter gives us hope in a way that nothing else does. Because what Easter says to all of us is that death doesn't get the final word. That death wants to think it does. And sometimes we want to think it does. Sometimes we want to think that the worst thing that could possibly happen is death, and that it creates an end that we will never be able to get over. But that's simply not true. Jesus came to earth for all kinds of reasons. Jesus came to earth to demonstrate, above all else, how much God loves God's creation by coming here and taking part in it, by being like us, by doing the same kinds of things that we do, by eating, by enjoying people's company, by being frustrated, by stubbing his toe. I find it, when I was younger, I had this weird idea about what it meant for Jesus to be fully human and fully divine, and I'd sort of push the fully divine into such an extent that Jesus never stubbed his toe, never got frustrated, never got stuck in traffic, whatever traffic looked like 2,000 years ago. He never had any of those things. He never had any of those problems. And then when I got older and started reading the Gospels and paying attention to what they say, when I started to get a better idea of what it means to be fully human anywhere, Jesus went through all those things. And to demonstrate that we can still be the best person we can be in the midst of all of that. Might not be easy. I don't think it was easy for Jesus. Anyone who does has skipped over, well, the scene in the Garden of Gethsemane. Anybody who thinks it was easy for Jesus hasn't read, well, any of the Passion accounts. But Jesus came to demonstrate that you could live this life. And then, even more than that, to demonstrate that there's more than this life. That yes, we want to live a life that is as close to the pattern and the example of Jesus as we can. But if we don't, and none of us can do it perfectly, what we do have is we have this ongoing, endless example of Jesus reaching out to people who need help, whether it was healing, whether it was relief from oppression of any kind, whether it was the forgiveness of sins. And we all have access to all of those. We may not be able to sit around a table filled with friends, family, and food, a very lovely combination, those three. But that doesn't mean that we don't celebrate the ultimate reality of Easter. We celebrate today, not just because we got a day off on Friday and some of us get a day off on Monday. We haven't celebrated in the past just because we get to eat. At least I hope not. We celebrate because we know that no matter how bad things are, we have a Savior who understands, who lived through the ultimate suffering that a human being can, as many others did before and have done since. Jesus didn't come to suffer that we wouldn't ever suffer. Jesus came to show us that suffering isn't all there is. Jesus came to show us that death isn't all there is. And by coming back to life, by being raised from the dead, he's pointing us to the way that we will go. We celebrate the reality that we too can live forever, that we too can be in this relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that will transcend our own physical deaths. We don't know what that looks like. We don't know what heaven's like. We don't know what the afterlife is like. But we do know it's there. And we do know that it will be spent in the company of a God who loved us enough to come and go through the things that we go through, to lead the way, to show us the path. So can we celebrate this Easter? Yes, we can. The same way as always? No. But if we're willing to be open to it, I think some of us may look back on this Easter as a time when we recaptured more of the reality of what Easter means and less of the trappings. More of the understanding that Jesus came to demonstrate that there is meaning in suffering, that it's not just random, that it's not ignored by God himself. Rather, that suffering, while it doesn't bring meaning in and of itself, that suffering is not good just because it is, but that we can see meaning in the middle of it, whether it's the suffering that we see all around the world with this pandemic or our own trying to grapple with this new normal and look ahead to what the next new normal might be like. All of these things find meaning. And they find meaning in the reality that Jesus came. He was born just like us. He lived just like us. He died just like we were all going to. And he was raised from the dead, just like we're going to as well. Amen.